Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Patriots Friday, it is the bi-week version of Patriots Friday, and as he always does, Mike Lombardi joins us. It's all sponsored by Town Fair Tire, Needham Bank, and We Be Your Bank, and by Indeed. Post the job today at Indeed.com/hire. Mike, they're not going 16-0.
You blow it.
That's the best thing ever. That's the best news ever.
Well, too much stress. Too much stress to handle.
It's hard to, you know. Look, you get in that room with those players every week, and they get hear how good they are. That's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Like I think 14-2 is a nice, perfect season to have.
All right, Mike. We've seen a couple teams run on this defense. We've talked a lot with you during the course of this year about the defense. So was that just a unique offense that they couldn't?
Well, I think really it was a challenge to handle that. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback that's the best runner on the field. So that's a problem, you know, and then they didn't do a very good job of setting the edge of both sides of the defense. And I think Ingram gives them the ability to run with power inside. So I think it was a unique situation this week against Philly. Philly's going to have a good run game. But I do think Philly's run game is more conventional. They won't challenge the edge of your defense with the quarterback as much as Baltimore did. Baltimore's running a single wing, and it's challenging mm-hmm. to defend. But I think ultimately is all the running that happened, that 3rd-and-10 pass to Andrews when they had to have it, that was critical, and that's what separated them. And, of course, you know that when they turn the ball over like they did, there's no way they're going to win.
See, and the other thing, the other aspect of this game is just – The way the Baltimore Ravens approached it with this is our championship, this is our Super Bowl. You saw them taking a picture on the sideline. It's reminiscent of what happened with Jacksonville last year, Tennessee last year, and Detroit. Don't you think that adds a little bit more of a you know, struggle for the Patriots, knowing that that's the way they looked at this game?
You know, yeah, I mean, look, it's a game in November. It's important, certainly. It matters. But I think it also gives the Patriots a chance to get used to the speed of which that that offense operates. Look, you can say what you want about the game. I mean, Julian's fumble. I mean, at that point, the Ravens were almost dead on arrival to the hospital. They were in trouble. You know, they were gasping for air. And the Patriots offense had finally found, after 8 weeks, a real good rhythm to throw the football and get a sense of timing going, and they've got another option with Sanu. There's a lot of positives to take from that game. They've got to clean things up defensively. They've got to play more physical. There's no doubt about that. And they've got to be able to, you know, get off the field on third down. You can't let your opponent have the ball 37 minutes. These are all things they've been good at up until that game. Philly will be a tough challenge for them, but I think now – I think Coach Belichick has the opportunity to talk to his team in an honest dialogue about, hey, we're not the 84 Bear. We're not the 85 Bears. We need to work at doing what we do.
Hey, Mike, just as far as adjustments, you know, maybe the next time you ever face this offense, it's interesting. I was watching San Diego last night. Maybe think of that postseason game when they had 7 DBs out on the field, right? No linebackers. They went with speed against Lamar. I think the Patriots had 7, but only used that 7 guys in the field once. They went 3 linebackers most of the time. Does Mark Ingram make it difficult to do what the Chargers did to them last year with that power game? Or should they have 7 guys out there?
No, that's the reason Lamar's there. See, the problem you get into is they go into 3 tight ends on you, and you got to go big, and they want you to go big. They're trying to get you to go big. They want as many slow guys on the field as they can get. And then they let their quarterback go crazy, right? And then if you go small, they're going to power you, and they got a back who can break a lot of tackles. So you got to find the right balance. I think the Patriots have the right balance. They played 2 fronts in the game. You know, they played a 34 front, and they played an even front. They just did a bad job of the edge of their defense from the end. And this is a principle of a Belichick defense going back to when he was with the Giants. You've got to set an edge. It's got to be a hard edge on both sides, and the ball's got to go back into the big guys. When it goes back into the big guys, they can't be chasing a guy around. They're going to feed it right to them so they can tackle them. I think it's a completely different game if they play them again.
All right, and a lot of people are talking about what it's going to be like. So I wanted you to go back, give me some insight. Bill Belichick must have mentioned 5-6 times with us on Monday, got a coach better, kept on saying it. He said it in the post-game press conference. I think a lot of people think these are just words. I think he really takes it to heart. I think it was one of those games in which he thought a specific player could do something, put him in that position, and found out in the first quarter, maybe the second quarter, oh, my God, what did we just do? When he says that, and you look at his body language and everything else when we're talking to him, I almost get the feeling he's telling you, I screwed up. It's on me.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the one great thing about Belichick, I mean, this has been going on, and this is what separates him from so many other coaches, is he always stands in front of the team when they take a loss, and he always stands behind the team when they take a win. That's an incredible thing to do, right? He's never doing any commercials, and when the praise comes in, he's behind it. The players are getting it, and when they get beat, he's in front of it taking it. And I think this is the perfect example. And I do think that he thought something on the blackboard was going to work, and it didn't really work. There was too much hesitation in the players' play, which just means they're thinking, not reacting. And for him, he needs them to react. He can't have them think. So maybe he feels like he overloaded them with too many options. Maybe he felt like bringing Hightower through that A-gap was a little bit the wrong thing to do because he lost the defender on the side of where the ball was going to go. So he ended up being a half man outlaid on the part where they ran the football. I think there's a lot of areas where he thinks he needs to correct, but I'm sure the players need to correct it too. It's just that their leader took the bullet for him.
Why isn't N'Keal Harry playing?
I think in that game, I think N'Keal Harry is going to play next time they play Philly. I don't doubt that for 1 minute.
So why not last week?
Okay, I'll give you a perfect reason why. Now, you know, first of all, the game plan was to go no huddle. The game plan was to play fast. A kid who's never played during the regular season, and he's got to learn the terminology of all the calls on the call sheet, and he's never played in a regular season game, there's a lot of potential for mistakes there, a lot of it. And so there'll be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks saying, he wasn't ready to play. Why'd you put him in there?
You can't dumb it down?
Red zone?
Why don't you go tell Brady we're going to dumb it down? See how that works.
Well, I mean, now dumbing it down, I'm just saying maybe there's a timeout. Right. Maybe there's a timeout, and maybe there's a stoppage of clock, and then you go, all right, let me give you one play.
One play?
Are sure, you me one play.
One play, the maestro has 10 plays at his command. He's working it. That's what makes him so unique. That's what makes him the greatest player of all time. He's running the offense at the line of scrimmage. He is manipulating and doing things that most quarterbacks in the NFL would be in awe. He's pointing the mic out on every single play.
That's what all quarterbacks do. They all point out the mic.
No, they don't.
Sure they do. If you can't point out the mic, what are you doing being a quarterback in the NFL?
Let me tell you something. The offensive linemen are pointing it out. Trust me on
that. Sometimes they do, but it's still the quarterback if it's a young guy.
No, this guy's doing everything. And I think it's hard for a young player to come in there, especially you're playing tempo. There's too many margins for error. I think he'll play next week.
Well, so you think they still believe in this kid?
Oh, I think there's no doubt they believe in him.
All right, so they probably would have no interest in Dez Bryant then, right? Him talking? Both coming back.
Bryant? Are you guys serious? Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Let's just go. Okay,
we're desperate, Mike.
Here. Let's just talk real football, okay? Dez Bryant lines up on one side of the formation, okay? Do you know why Dez Bryant lines on one side of the formation? Because he doesn't know where to go. So he lines up to the left always. So the first number is the number pattern he runs. So when he hears 4, he runs a 4. When he hears 2, he runs a stop. When he hears 5, he runs an out.
So
when he
dumb.
Hears 7, he runs. Okay, he can only run one route. You put him on the field with Brady, and then I want to watch you go talk to Tommy and see how that works out for you.
I love testy Mike.
I do too.
I love snarky Mike.
So Mike,
this just like cracks me up. Dez Bryant hasn't played in like a year and a half. He's a name. It would be perfect if we were running an old-timers game at Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park. Let's do it.
No, Mike Lombardi. It was 2 years, by the way, since he's played. 2 years, but it's like getting on a bike.
Yeah,
all right, I want to ask you about running. And this team does not run the football well at all. It's a real problem, and even against sub packages. So they're able to establish a running game. The defense is playing for the pass, and they still can't run the football. We know there's no fullback. We know the tight end, But if they replace the left tackle now with Isaiah Wynn, Shaq Mason seems to be getting healthier. Cannon the same way. We know what Ted Karras is. He's not what David Andrews is. Can they run the football effectively to be able to do something, at least in the red zone?
They're going to have to, because we're getting into the part, as you know, going outside, we're getting the part of the year where it's cold, and you got to be able to run the football in weather and wind. And, I mean, we're going to see it this weekend all over the country. I mean, the Rams are going to go back into Pittsburgh, and if it's below 35 degrees and they can't run the ball, good luck with Jared Goff throwing it. Good luck with that. We saw last year against Chicago when he couldn't throw it. So you're going to have to run the ball, and I think they know it. I think they're finally – I thought their offense was really starting to get in rhythm last week. I really did.
I did, too.
And I think with Harry coming back, I think they get Isaiah Wynn back. All of a sudden, they're going to become very problematic for people. They're going to move the ball effectively on Philadelphia because Philly's going to have a hard time covering them.
All right, so, Mike, so it's that time of year again. I feel like the rumors are going to start popping up about Josh McDaniels and a possible opening. Maybe it's the New York Jets. Maybe it's the Cleveland Browns. I don't know. I'm sure by the end of the season, there's going to be a lot. Do you think this is the year where Josh McDaniels takes another head coaching opportunity? And if you think he would, what opportunities, what jobs do you think are out there?
You know, I might still be in Cleveland if he would have taken the job 5 years ago in 2014. I don't know how to predict what Josh is going to do. I'm never sure about that. Look, I think he's one of the great coaches in the National Football League. I think he's exceptional. I think his offense is remarkable. I think he's one of the best play callers. I think he's got great leadership skills. I think it's going to come down to who the owner is. I think it's going to become with his comfortability with the ownership and how that front office is set up so that he can install the program that he needs to install that fits what he wants to do, that acquires the players that fits for what he wants to do. And I think that's a crapshoot.
Yeah, don't you think that if you're him, he's got such a good deal here? I mean, it's consistent. He knows exactly what's going on. And then you look at what's going on in Cleveland, you're like, wow, did they make the right decision with Kitchens? It doesn't look like they're happy with it. Adam Gase in New York, I just feel like there's so many landmines with all
you,
these.
I mean, if he was in Cleveland and he had Callaway runs the wrong way on a reverse, gets a false start and then drops the ball in the end zone, do you think he would play him the next week? Of course he wouldn't. But the general manager in Cleveland wants you to pay him because he drafted him. So the whole dynamics in Cleveland's wrong. I mean, poor Freddie's sitting out there. He's just a figure. He's got to play who they tell him to play. That never works.
Do you think he makes it to the end of the year? Do you think he's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns next year?
I think he next year. I don't that one. I'm not sure of. But that's a mess.
It's always a mess. Why is it always a mess?
Because the owner refuses to acknowledge culture, right? The owner used to ask me all the time, and he would write it down. What makes a good owner? And he'd write down the answer I gave him. But the next week, he'd ask me the question again.
You know what, guys? We've talked about this a lot, so I'm going to ask Mike the question. Ownership. What's more important if you're a coach and you're going to another city? Is it the ownership or is it the quarterback?
The owner. The owner.
I agree.
The owner. The owner. Because if the owner, for the Belichickian crowd, it's got to be the owner, because if they don't want to put in the system, like Pat Bowlen wanted it, but then when he realized it was too hard to put it in, he got, this isn't for me, and that's what kills you. We're going to find quarterbacks. You're going to find players. Now, you may not find another Tom Brady. They come once in a lifetime. But you're going to find players. You're not going to find an owner who's going to let you do what you want them to do.
Mike, what did you think when you heard the news of Pat Mahomes starting this week? Too soon?
I thought it was too soon. I think this is a tough game for him to play. I think it's a hard game in the sense that I think he's got to, move his feet. And I think Tennessee's pretty good on defense.
Yeah.
I don't think the Chiefs have played well the last 5 weeks. I know they beat Minnesota last week. That game Minnesota should have won. So, I don't know. I kind of thought they would give him more time. When I watched him run on the field to celebrate after the Minnesota game, it didn't look like a sturdy leg to me.
All right, Mike, good talking to you. You can check out Mike's book, Gridiron Genius. It's now available in paperback books.
And let's talk Des Bryant next week, fellas.
I'm in.
Boy, you really like him, Mike. I could tell.
You really showed
a lot of positive.
Wait, but hold on, Mike. Is there another guy out there on the street that's even
the guy that you're looking for is called Harry. They drafted him in the first round. He's going to be a good player. Just give it some time.
You sound like me, Mike. See, I knew I was a genius. I knew it. I always want confirmation from you, Mike. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Mike, one last thing for me. I got a bet with Christian. Over under 15 and a half catches for N'Keal Harry the rest of the way.
I would go the over there.
Oh, it's my boy. See, we think alike.
Brady won't throw it to him.
I'm here. You know, look, he practices, so I'm thinking he's going to, and they activated him. I think he'll catch what? We got 8 games to go.
Yes.
That's
seven.
That's
like,
seven to go.
Seven to go. That's two and a half a game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike. Good talking
to
you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll do it next week. Mike Lombardi right here on OMF.
Listen to OMF on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Google, play 93.7 WEEI. Hey, Alexa, play 93.7 WEEI. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Brought to you by the 99. Visit the 99 every Sunday during the football season. 50 cent bone-in wings. It's great game atmosphere, a chance to win tickets to see Buffalo at New England. The 99, always the real deal. Bruins and Wings in Detroit. They'll drop the puck at 7:30 on that one. Meanwhile, Gary Bettman announcing today that the Bruins and the Nashville Predators will begin the 2020-2021 season with a game in Czechoslovakia as part of the NHL Global Series. Celtics road trip continues tomorrow. They will visit the Spurs in San Antonio. Headline from Dan Shaughnessy today, and we've got the story in front of us. Face it, Red Sox fans, you are overrating Mookie Betts a bit. Why? We'll get into it. And you just heard Patrick Mahomes returning. He will start for the Chiefs Sunday in Nashville. BC football at home tomorrow afternoon against Florida State. They kick it off at noon on WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
They probably would have no interest in Dez Bryant then, right? Him talking about
Dez
coming
Bryant?
Back.
Are you guys serious? Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Let's just go. Okay,
we're desperate, Mike.
Here. Let's just talk real football, okay? Dez Bryant lines up on one side of the formation, okay? Do you know why Dez Bryant lines on one side of the formation? Because he doesn't know where to go. So he lines up to the left always. So the first number is the number pattern he runs. So when he hears 4, he runs a 4. When he hears 2, he runs a stop. When he hears 5, he runs an out.
So
when he
done.
Hears 7, he runs... Okay, he can only run one route. You put him on the field with Brady, and then I want to watch you go talk to Tommy.
I love pissed off Mike Lombardi.
I love Snarky Mike.
When he's pissed off, he's so good when he's pissed off. I like that. And we got under his skin a little bit because he basically is telling us that Dez Bryant is a dope.
Yeah, so and we're just going for the shiny package,
yeah,
the name.
So, yeah, and then when you
yes,
said,
I am.
Dumb it down. Dumb it down! Tom Brady!
If we were running an all-timers game at Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park,
oh,
let's do it.
Here's what amazes me, though. So he's talking about a number system. Most teams don't use a number system anymore. That was like old school.
So it he needs be, a number system?
So if it would be whatever, it would be formation. So each number represents a route. A 1 would always be a flat. A 2 would be a slant. So even numbers go inside, odd numbers go outside. So there's another way of understanding how it goes. All right, red, right, blah, 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 414.
Because I would think
and it always starts to the left.
Well, I would think like trying to disguise and then all of a sudden change a play and him go, two.
Yeah.
Like, I think the defense would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's
but the number system is universal. So if it's 414, he's got an inside curl. So isn't that amazing, though? So you could be in the NFL. And you can basically play, you force your quarterback to play with his left hand half the time because you just can only do one thing, yet you're so unbelievably talented. And they've recognized that you can't learn the offense, so they say, you know what, screw it.
You just run
one, six,
69.
Eight. I mean, is that it? That fine, whatever.
I mean, Gronk's like, dude, do 69. Yeah,
69. Hey, Des, 69.
So it's Harry or nobody. That's what he's basically saying.
Wait a second.
He's a genius, you're not.
I've been saying that for 5 days now.
Well, then it's nobody.
So Lombardi comes on because he's got a book and all this other stuff, and
he was a GM.
Okay, you believe him other than me.
Yes.
Whatever happened
you
to
still
that
believe
book?
That the center calls out the mic the time?
No, I agree with you. But
it's the dumbest thing to do.
Right, but
I'm gonna tell him that next.
He's
time.
Got
Let's
a book.
Talk real football,
Gridiron Genius, real football.
Not Hold this, on. I don't have to agree with football. Either one of you.
Okay, here's his book. It's right here. A
do you
master
want to,
class in building you, teams and no, winning at the
you
highest
change,
level.
You want to change your bet now? 15
no,
and a half.
You're both wrong.
He's got seven games.
You're both,
to catch.
You're both
15,
on hope.
I'm telling you, you're nuts. 15
seven,
easy.
Seven games.
Seven
that's
games.
Two catches. More than two catches a game. And, mix in a third once in a while. He ain't
How are you turning into Ray Lewis?
I don't know. I'm trying to live the dream. I'm trying to be like Stephen A. Trying to live the American dream.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
What has happened to your book, by the way? Remember the book you wrote?
Kids fail all the time.
Why your kid sucks.
Why your kid sucks.
Okay. After this event, all my time and energy has been put into this 25 of 25 event, which is next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
Next Wednesday.
And after the event, I will start the first chapter of Why Your Kid Sucks, opening forward by, I'm not sure. I'll think about it.
So on our program next Wednesday, as part of Christian's 25 for 25, we're going to have on Larry Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Dante Hightower, Teddy Bruschi, and Tom Brady.
Yes, sir.
Pretty good first day.
Yeah, but keep going. Keep
that's
going.
Not bad.
And then what happens at 10?
And then at 10 o'clock at night, it's going to be The Love Line with Christian and Kim.
Things are going to get freaky.
The Love Line.
Oh, yeah. So wait, so people
you're taking all your
to put curtains up? What are we doing?
They're calling it at 10?
Yeah.
For, like, couples?
Advice. Well,
advice?
No, it doesn't have to be.
He sits backwards in the toilet and manscapes, leaving his hairs all over the toilet.
Okay, that's true. But, no, whatever. If you have, let's say you want to try something
I'm trying
new.
To, I'm trying to meet this girl.
Yeah,
what's the best way?
What should I say? Give me an opening line. What should I do?
Luke, can you imagine at 10 o'clock, the Gilroy listeners are going to be out there calling in with
love
line
I'm more worried
questions.
About the 11 o'clock listeners.
11 o'clock, I think, is something everybody's waiting
and
for.
And both of your wives are coming in here?
Yes.
So, Lou and Steph are going out to dinner.
How did you convince Steph to do this, by the way?
Are you kidding? She was like, yeah. I didn't think she wanted to. She's like, absolutely.
So no, they're going
to
air grievances on both of you?
It's all about airing your grievances. Yeah. So the wives are going to go first. They can air their grievances. And then I'm sure there'll be a lot of them. And then like Lou this. And I are going to go. Then we're going to play the newlywed game. How well do you know your wife?
Oh, we're not doing that.
Oh, yeah, we are. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you that.
No.
You better study
I'm
up.
I'm not doing that.
I can guarantee
so
you better
typical.
Find out.
Don't
so
tell her because the next 4 days I'll be lying in bed. I'll be like, so what?
Yeah.
What's your favorite color again?
Yeah. What's your first car?
It's so typical
oh
for you, isn't it? He gives you part of it, doesn't tell you the entire story.
Yeah, but there's even more, though. They got some really cool stuff. So day two.
Greg Hill's going to have Alex Guerrero.
Alex Guerrero
on
is coming on. We're going to talk pliability. We're going to talk functionality.
And you're on
for
this,
Greg?
No. You fill
I
in.
Am on. Yes, I will be filling
Nobody's
in.
Giving
be
Greg
there.
A massage that day, are
no,
they?
No. Who not? Because that's not what they do anyways.
So maybe Alex would give him a massage or whatever. And then Rex Ryan's coming on with Dale and Keith.
Yep. Right? And then we will have a special guest at the 3 o'clock hour.
Maybe. We will.
Yeah, you guys will, because I'm not staying. I'm done.
I'm done at three.
That's 25 hours, Glenn.
It's not 25 and 30, Glenn. It's 25 for 25.
Why don't you just go 30 and 30?
Yeah, why don't you do 30 for 30?
Why don't you do 30 and 30 with me? How about that? Next time, if there is a next time, we will all do 30 straight hours. How about that? Do you think we would kill each other? If we were in the studio
point,
for
yes.
30 straight
yes.
hours?
Yes. Some point, yes.
I don't think we could do it.
No. Some point, yes. No,
so there we go.
But it's good. It's good.
I get that.
Good thing you're doing.
So it's a great thing you're doing, and all, of course, for diabetes. And we know that Christian's son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes earlier this spring. And we're going to do a bunch of stuff during the course of it. You can text WEEI to 71760 to view auction items, like unbelievable auction items, or to donate. And he's going to try to raise 25 grand. And I think he's going to easily top 25 grand. So we'll do that starting next Wednesday. And you're only going to stay for the first hour of the show on Thursday, right?
25th hour. I think I've earned half the day off.
I was taking that day off. I saw it.
No, and I'm working, but I'm just working half a day. Yeah. I think you guys can get by without
you're
me.
You're going to need to pay.
Can you imagine the sound that we're going to have from Larry Bird? Can you just imagine? I feel like nobody's...
You're excited about this. As a Laker fan, I can't get over how excited you are. Well, I understand because you grew up here.
Larry Legend.
Right, but you're sitting here... And, you know, we'll ask some old good stories, some Laker stories. We'll get into all that stuff. But as a Laker fan, I'm amazed that you're
Well, you don't think that he's kind of – I feel like he's one of those guys that he's the opposite of Magic Johnson.
Yeah, he's stealth mode.
He's not on Twitter. He's kind of like – kind of keeps to himself. I'm curious to know what makes him tick. And I'm also curious – you've told a lot of stories about him. You hear the trash talking. I just – curious to know what his personality is like, to be honest with you.
He's got a great personality. You're right about Recluse, and he stayed out of the limelight. He coached for a while, and then he was a front office guy, and now he's kind of a consultant for the Indiana Pacers. But you're right. He does not do many interviews. He stays in the limelight. He did that big, huge thing with Magic with Jackie McMullen. It was terrific, the book and then the documentary. But he doesn't do an awful lot of this stuff, doesn't like to talk an awful lot. But when you talk with him, you'll be amazed. The personality, the whole idea that people once called him the dumb hick from French Lick.
Yeah, might be the dumbest. Happy for you, done well.
Thank you, Larry. It might be the dumbest moniker because he is, of all the people I've covered in sports, and please don't, no disrespect to you or anybody else. He's the smartest, most brilliant guy I've ever covered.
Man, how you doing?
Good.
I think the thing that amazes me, the dude's French Lick, Indiana. You know, went to Indiana, it was too much for him. Right? Just too big for him.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't too big. You know what it was? It
was away from home.
It was he had no clothes. So he was poor.
Okay, he had no clothes.
So this is what we're talking about. So he leaves and takes a year off, right? Did he work in trash?
He was doing a trash car. Okay. Yeah, he was picking
went to
up
Indiana State.
Trash.
So this guy got to the NBA, was one of the biggest trash talkers in one of the biggest cities, and handled it perfectly. Fine.
Yeah. And
meanwhile, we got people coming in left and right that you know, the Boston's crazy. I mean, everything's too much. I can't handle it. Look where this guy came from and what he was. And he walked into the city and owned it and talked trash on the court at the same time.
Yeah, aren't you curious?
Personality.
I feel like I can't remember the last time he actually sat down for an interview, locally. I don't feel like he doesn't deal with any of these sports stations. He doesn't. He never talks. And I'm sure getting a hold of him, I mean, because you would know, is a pain in the ass. You know, he's just, I feel like he's the type of guy that has a rotary phone in his home. You know, he refuses to get into Twitter and, you know, Snapchat and Instagram. And he just likes things the way they used to be.
Well, yeah, very old school. At his house that he had on Chestnut Hill in Brookline, you walk in, there were two kitchens.
Were there two kitchens?
Because there was an old kitchen from the 50s that he never redecorated. And so he wanted a newer kitchen. So on the right side of the house, he had a new kitchen built, but he left the old kitchen.
Why did
he
the old one?
Wait a second. I have no idea.
Why?
I don't know. Sold the house that way.
Role play?
I don't know. He sold the house that way. He kept two kitchens in the first floor.
Now, can you imagine the person that bought Larry Bird's house? He's got two kitchens in there.
Right. How about the builder? Sure, I want to take this one down?
No,
leave it.
I want you to leave that old kitchen. Yeah, I'm good with it.
So we'll do all of that coming up next Wednesday, and it should be great. And obviously, it's a fundraiser, so we want to raise some money for
But we're going to have fun doing it.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have fun with a lot of different... Tom Brady coming on. Dante Hightower.
To be honest, I think your toughest day might be Thursday.
Why?
Because once you get through it, you're going to just pass out and collapse.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you're going to be groggy.
Yeah. No, I figure there's a huge hole, too. They're from 2 to 4, I have nobody with me right now. So nobody stepped
Wiggy?
Up.
Bradford?
No. Bradford is hinting at it, but I think Bradford is just kind of, I think he's just kind of full of it. Gilroy, Candyman, is kind of showing interest, but I don't
showing
know.
Showing interest?
Yeah,
he's outside the door giving you money.
Me. I keep going, why is he following me? So
Kempa talk. We'll do good Kempa talk for a couple of hours.
Why don't you get Ken and Curtis to come in a little earlier?
Yeah.
You want them to come in at 2 a.m. in the morning?
Why not 4? I don't know. What time are they coming in? Who's at 4?
Natalie Lizarraga, my cousin, who now works for New England Cable News. She's my cousin. She works here.
Oh, she's family.
Yeah, I got family to come
in.
Family.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Family.
She's building.
Gonna,
she's gonna be working with you.
Yep, same building. Soon.
So I thought I'd introduce her to the masses. You know, and then
I'm sure she's gonna love that.
Yeah.
So you're helping people along as well. Family members, introducing them.
Yes.
What time will that be?
I feel like this is that 2 to 4 slot. I feel like, you know, Rocky won, like the first Rocky. I'm going to give an unknown a chance at the title. So maybe somebody, you know, who wants to get into radio,
I will give somebody a shot.
I got Albert from Rhode Island on line one. Two to three.
Hit me up. Listen, I'll think about it. You have to outwit and outdebate Gilroy and Bradfoe.
Albert.
If you can do that, then you got a shot.
What do you think you're going to sound like? That's the 25th hour right there.
Yeah.
What do
I want to do?
I know. Did you plan on pacing yourself? Because you have a tendency when you come in here, you have high energy and you usually kind of get everything out on the table right away.
I vomit my thoughts.
Already, I hate to tell you, but 45 minutes ago, you looked over at us and said,
tired.
I'm starting to fade.
I think it was from last night's round table. Can we play some stuff from the round table last night?
Sure we can, but why are you fading 2 hours into today's program?
Because I was out late last night.
But you have to do 25 hours next week.
I'm prepping for it. I'm staying up late on purpose.
You got to have a game plan.
I did not. I went to Rare, the steakhouse.
Okay.
Yeah. It was awesome, by the way. The whole place is awesome. I'm going to Fratelli's, I think. Yeah.
I think before our little Wednesday show. I'm going to swing by there. See my boys down there.
So you're going to get a little. You're going to come back a little.
Well, I figure I go to the casino.
He's going to come back hammered.
They're pumping the oxygen. It'll keep me awake, number one. And I get Fratelli's and go see Nikki Verano's spot.
Okay, so that's what it is. Maybe I'll call Nikki, see if he wants
to. I don't know what the beef is.
There you go. Nikki will take
it. So we'll be good.
Yeah. All right, that's all coming up next Wednesday through Thursday till 3 o'clock. And as we said, that first hour, you do not want to miss this show next Wednesday with Larry Bird. What's he on? 3 o'clock, is that right?
3 o'clock hour.
3 o'clock hour. Tom Brady in the 5 o'clock hour. Dante Hightower.
Probably done with practice at 4:30, so probably around that time.
Okay, and Teddy Bruschi will be in the 4 o'clock hour.
Wow, we're
as well.
Packed in.
So that is unbelievable, that first day. That is next Wednesday.
Alex Guerrero.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
That was a tough one.
I got a lot of questions for him.
Is he going to rub Greg down? He's not coming in. Is he going to give Greg a rub down?
I already brought that up. No,
he's not coming in.
Yeah. No.
I think he's got work. It's Wednesday.
I think Greg wanted one. By the way, I'll rub him down. Why didn't we tell Greg?
You don't wear your pants in a massage.
Greg still has the towel that he used.
He won't take it.
He won't leave.
Nobody else is going to take it.
Nobody wants to touch it.
He needs to come in here. Does he have like a locker? Why don't we just throw it in his office?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Can we do that?
Because
I don't like to see it here.
I'm not
one of us to touch that?
Rubber gloves. What's wrong with that?
Tyler, you're the new guy.
Take two for the team, Tyler. There you go. Pass the buck. Go ahead.
Hazardous material.
617-779-7937. Gilroy's going to get real excited because we might even talk some Celtics coming up as well. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah. We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
To come out there and try to make it all about himself.
Well, when you're a person like he obviously is a person, not just a basketball player, he understands that there's other people in the universe, you know, not just him. You know, most of these great players are selfish beyond compare.
Right.
And he's not. He's a regular guy.
Tommy talking about the other guy as well. He got into it a little bit last night. on at halftime. But the
Green Team is they unleash some fury on Kyrie now, don't they?
It is unbelievable. They loved Kyrie last year. I thought the Mike Gorman story was unbelievable. Gorman was doing a podcast with Michael Holly, and he gave him the information that he doesn't believe that. Okay, do we have this? This is very, very interesting about Gorman being asked about what Kyrie was like.
A lot of volunteers to drive him to the airport. You know, did you like him? Because I had no feelings towards him. Michael, I would tell you, in the time that Kyrie was with Boston, if we exchanged 10 words, it was a lot. Wow. Once I remember him asking me in a hotel lobby where the house phone was.
He said, who are you?
I think he thought I worked there. I think he did. And then another time, he walked by me. I was in a conversation with somebody else. He walked by behind me, and he said, oh, I know that voice.
Good. That's good.
It was nice. You know, it was a nice compliment. But that was it. There were two or three different times, to tell you the truth, that I got on an elevator with, he was on the elevator and other people who were staying in the hotel were on the elevator, and I got on, and he would just stone you, wouldn't acknowledge you. You know, I would say, like, how you doing, Kyrie? Straight ahead, nothing.
I find it amazing. You know why I find it amazing? Because in the time that Kyrie was here, these guys like Tommy Heinsohn and Mike Gorman, I get it. I understand it's their job. They're doing the game broadcast. They're working basically for the team. They've got to say all these positive things. But when other people from the outside were ripping Kyrie because he was being selfish, because they didn't like his attitude or whatever, those were the guys that were constantly protecting him every night on television. And then you hear something like this with Mike Gorman, you go, what?
Well, yeah, I mean, the discussion, I felt like the biggest discussion last year was, are they better without Kyrie? Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, now you can look back and say, well, Jesus, you know. But I still felt like the talent was there. We all know it didn't mix. But I don't remember anybody covering this team, writers or anybody, you know, bloggers, commentary, whatever, saying that, yes, I think they'd be better without Kyrie because I think he's selfish. I think he dribbles the ball too much. I think everybody watches him. I think he wants everyone to watch.
But now they're all saying
I never heard that, but now they are.
Yeah, but hold on. So is it so if Bob Soshi is just flying on the team plane and hanging out in the hotel, are the players supposed to interact with him? I mean, are they supposed to care? I mean, honestly, I'm just trying to...
No, the NBA is very...
I know they travel more.
It's much different.
Okay.
In the NBA,
so what?
In the NBA.
So what if he doesn't
interact with you? You don't think it's weird that maybe at the airport, walking on the plane?
This is really strange.
Hey.
In the locker room, waiting for the bus.
10 words?
On the way to the bus.
I'm shocked.
I don't think...
He's never said a word to him?
I don't think it's unheard of, though. I don't think that's necessarily an indication that... Now, it could be anybody, because I can easily see me doing that. Like, getting in an elevator, being preoccupied with something, and then just, you know.
But you're right, though. You would only see him on travel 8 times a year.
Yeah.
You're only really interacting with him. Now, Soshi, I'm sure, is probably down in the locker room at times, right? Whatever. I don't know how football works.
Football's much different than basketball.
But I'm just saying, like, so 8 times a year, you're on a plane with this guy. And, you know, you just sort of drive and show up and go, you know, and... I think baseball, it's like, and you know, the comparison, your comparison with Kyrie and David Price, I think if you ask Joe Castiglione, he'd tell you the exact same thing.
But he hasn't spoken to David Price similar to
Gordon. They
don't
really interact, you know, which I think is a little bit different.
But does Joe, so I would say that so basketball plane, right, smaller, they're not getting that huge plane, it's the smaller.
Well, it's less people. That's the other thing. So there's only, what, 13? How many players?
Yeah, they're probably, with staff and everything else, you're probably traveling 27, 28.
So if you're traveling with football, you're traveling with what, 75? How many people you travel with?
Yeah.
80 people?
More.
In baseball, there's 25 with coaches and trainers, 35? Something like that. But with basketball, are you traveling with 20? So the less amount of people you travel with, you would think the more interaction you might have.
I can tell you, Christian, from doing that routine for 14, 15 years, I would tell you that when I heard it, Gorman say it, and I heard this original podcast, I was a little shocked at it. On the other hand, Mike does live in New York, so I don't know how often he actually flies on that team plane. He may meet the team at certain places.
How about shoot-around?
What's that?
How about shoot-around?
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that in the NBA, with shoot-around, with preseason, with the trips you take, with a West Coast trip in which you're on the road, for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games at a time. I find that hard to believe.
Well, yeah, you know what? I think you're right. I think there, you know, I could easily see it being different with football because, you know, they get on the plane first and they're sitting on the plane and you won't even pass them. So unless you're being interviewed by the play-by-play guy, then you may not even know or may not even care. But I would think that you get into an elevator and you would at least acknowledge somebody that says hello. At least be polite enough, even though you know you are preoccupied. At least say hi.
And I get these guys, you know, like Mike and Tommy, like and Scal, whatever. I mean, they're on TV. They're covering the game, you know. But Tommy, I think, got into Kyrie again. What? Not so subtle either.
He's not trying to upstage them. That was the problem with the other guy we had last year.
The other guy.
He was upstaging everybody, and he took it on himself all the time to put the game on his shoulders instead of trusting his teammates. And as a consequence, this is the old Will Chamberlain situation.
Right.
Give him the ball, the other four guys stand around and watch, all right? And that's what was happening last year.
So I would say it's not Tommy's job last year to post game sit there and say, you know, this guy's trying to upstage everybody.
He said just the opposite.
And start crapping on him, right? But I would look at the people who cover the team, and I don't see why you can't have an opinionated article saying that.
It's, you know, you mentioned David Price
more often than maybe just that last month of the season.
No, but
Celtics fans would love that.
But Tommy's doing what. You know,
no, you get that. I get it.
I've known Tommy. This is what Tommy
when
is.
You cover the team and travel with the team and everything else. It's a different ball game.
But Tommy last year was praising the hell out of Kyrie. You can go back and remember it. We've never seen a player like this. It's unbelievable.
Remember what Tommy said about Al Horford when he played for Atlanta, and then he's on the team. He's, he's the best thing ever.
He's nothing special. But now Al's there, and he's
now he's special.
How about Gordon Hayward though?
He's not a great player.
Did you? Well, that was on Al, but then he came here, and he's a great player. How about the comparison last night he threw towards Gordon Hayward? How about this?
Well, that guy that we just saw. He came out and very early established his game and really got the momentum going. His total game is really something to watch. He's in the bird category for knowing how to pass, when to pass, and when to shoot.
Wow, that's saying
I know, right? Gordon Hayward, Larry Bird.
He was Larry Bird.
Jeez.
They're salesmen.
Pretty impressive.
But they're salesmen. They were salesmen last
year.
Larry
Bird,
they were selling you Kyrie, and they were salesmen. They were selling you Kyrie. And everybody, a lot of people were buying it until you finally figured out maybe he's not the greatest guy in the world. Maybe, you know, he's not getting everybody else involved. And so he's doing the same thing with Hayward. Listen, I thought Hayward's game again last night, he was the best player on the floor. Again last night. And I forget about the 20 points he scored. It was all of the, here we go, Lou, the little things that he does elsewhere.
Mm.
Okay? Very impressive. Larry Bird, give me a break.
Well, it's funny
give me a break.
So LSU has this quarterback, right? And big game this weekend. LSU, Alabama, 1-2 going against each other, 3:30. So Joe Burrow is the quarterback for LSU. Now, I see all these analysts comparing Joe Burrow to Tom Brady. And as soon as I hear that, I stop listening because I feel like they're trying to make this dramatic comparison. Like they were the first to recognize that he was going to be the next Messiah. Like he's the next GOAT. You thought it was going to be 40 years. Nope. This is him, Joe Burrow. And when I hear the Bird comparison, which is funny because he'll be on our show on Wednesday, I sit there and go, really? I mean, why? Just because you can't think of anybody else and he's the most. And think about if he does turn out to be Larry Bird.
He's a really good passer. Just say he's a good passer.
Okay, Hayward's a really good passer. He's got good Hayward's court good vision. I give him all of that stuff. He's taking the ball more to the hole. He's giving you that look like he's going to pull up outside.
He's just comfortable.
And he disguises it, and he drives
quarter,
in the lane.
It was like a continuation of the other night.
Larry Bird?
He's in the bird category.
No, he's not in the bird category.
They're salesmen.
There's a different category.
They're selling you.
It's called the good category.
Right.
But don't you kind of tune out then? When the comparison is
I start
is
laughing
made.
When I hear stuff like that.
Well, I mean,
I start laughing.
You get
I say,
the reaction from Drips. Wow.
Well, what did he say? Martha, turn the TV on. My water. What did he say?
Wow.
Really? This is amazing.
Yes.
And the whole night last night was a coronation for Kemba Walker on both ends. I mean, if you watch the TV broadcast, because I don't know about you guys, but TNT was blocked out. I wanted to see what their broadcast was. I've never seen that before. Is that something new, Ryan?
I've never seen that.
Never seen it. I go to TNT and it's a TNT logo and says, you're blocked out. You got to watch in the local market. Never saw that. I wanted to hear Shaq and Charles and all those guys. I wanted to see what they had to say about the Celtics. I know what, you know, Tommy and Scal and these guys think about them, but I'm watching the broadcast last night, and, you know, Abby and everybody else, it was talking to Kemba's mother and, you know, every other person in the world. It was Kemba night.
Wearing number eight, this is Kemba!
That was nice.
And he seems like a terrific guy. I don't know him, but everybody raves
he's
about
Kemba.
He's
a great guy of the year award.
Right, exactly. He's, like, unbelievable. Everybody says he's the greatest guy in the world. But it's amazing to me that a guy gets up and leaves a franchise and actually took less money, okay? Maybe not when you look at the whole, when you look at the bulk of the contract, less money, maybe per year with an out, a little bit less. But it's strange when somebody does that who adored and loved Charlotte. He's on the record last year as saying, you don't have to make me a Supermax player, which I thought we talked about it at the time. What the hell is he doing? The dumbest thing in the world. You don't have to do that to me. I'll take a lot less because I love Charlotte. Told the people exactly what Kyrie told the people here in Boston.
I'm staying.
Yeah.
They didn't want him.
And he lied. Kemba lied to those people. Yeah. Got his ass up and went to Boston.
They offered him $60 million less than they could.
Yeah,
I mean, so I won't take the Supermax.
Right. But it was 160 versus 141. He got 141 for Boston.
Right, but they
got
220 or 225.
221.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the thing. I'm amazed NBA franchises do that. I think it is the most pathetic thing. So you have a visiting player. Yeah. So you're going to introduce the Boston Celtics, the front four, Brad Stevens.
Depends who the player is.
And
this guy was their franchise, though.
I know, but think about it. It's your home stadium, and you're pumping up the visitor who is being paid to help beat you. I just don't think you should give them any ammunition.
Oh, Christian.
They're going to do it for a bunch of guys.
Christian, wait until Al comes back.
Oh, God. You agree with that?
Wait until Al comes back.
Honestly, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with it.
You
actually
think that they should?
I think when you have a player that impacts your organization, especially like Kemba Walker,
when he retires,
what are you talking about? They're going to do it for
Terry.
They're going to do it for Terry Rozier.
Why? The Celtics are out of control.
Kelly Olynyk got a video.
Oh, they did it for Olynyk. They're out of control.
NBA is pathetic.
But do you have a problem with them doing it to Paul Pierce?
No.
Okay, that's
he's
what
a Hall of Fame player.
I just got number up in the Raptors. When a guy impact like Kemba Walker.
Is he
probably one of the better players they've ever had down there?
Oh, he is.
Hold on.
Okay, so why wouldn't you do it for him?
Ryan, please play to go. So this is, they start the game. Charlotte versus Boston.
Yeah.
Right? Here come the visitors.
He's one of the greatest players that franchise ever had.
We would like to win, but you don't play for us anymore.
Don't matter.
This is the intro.
Paul Pierce didn't play for you no more.
He is the enemy now.
KG didn't play with you no more.
Give it to me.
Standing 6 feet from UConn. Please welcome back.
They do. Here's what they do.
Yeah.
Because this is usually what the visiting players get. Guard Marcus Smart,
Jason
Tatum,
sophomore.
Oh my God! I mean, that's what's so.
Oh, Brad Stevens. This is
and then they go to
Kemba!
This. This is what they're doing. So whenever you're a visitor in an NBA arena, they go, okay, Bassett. Okay, Jason, Marcus Smart. Okay, la-di-da. Okay. Okay, coming to the floor. Now he used to play for you. Now he doesn't. And he acted like he liked you, but he was really lying. But let's give him a hand of applause anyways, because we just love some Kemba.
Kemba!
Insane.
That was pretty much it, though.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Really? I'm telling you.
So you say it was okay to do it for Pierce and Garnett because they got traded?
Yeah,
it
was different.
But I don't think they should do it, period. I mean, so whatever. I don't think they should do it, period.
Yeah.
I don't think they should do it at all. If the guy retires,
well, they never did it.
His last time, let's say he's retiring, this is his last go round.
I got a video when I returned to Fenway.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. 2004, playing for the Indians. Sure did.
But you're a local kid.
Yep, local kid.
See,
some markets
will not put up with it. Was it Oklahoma City when Kevin Durant went back there?
They retired my number up there, too.
Do you remember when Johnny Damon came back here as a Yankee?
He got his ass booed.
Every time he came to the plate for years. Mm-hmm. What about Ray Allen? I don't think anybody was thrilled here. The Boston Celtics fan base were not happy. He went to Miami. Unbelievable. But Kemba Walker, they just adore him down there. And he left your team, and your team's going to suck now.
He's a nice guy. That family brought him cookies, right?
Yes.
Again? So
yeah.
They love him down there. What's the big deal?
By the way, you're missing out on a golden opportunity, and one of the Texans picked up on it. This is golden. So you're going to have auction items next Wednesday. They're going to be absolutely phenomenal. Lifetime. I do, and they're once in a lifetime thing. So somebody said, you got a lot of Patriot fans out there. You actually have in your possession in the studio, it might have a little bacteria on it, but you have a towel that was held for at least 10 or 12 minutes by Gronk.
That's right.
Now, granted, Greg Hill, some of his back hair.
Or was this around that one that was around his waist? Hillman's.
Not sure.
No, he wiped.
Should we frame it?
I saw the video. He wiped his hands all over at the end of the
massage. Let's do some DNA.
On that thing. So do some DNA.
I feel like we should.
You don't think you could get some money for that?
You don't wear your pants in a massage.
You put it. You really? And you get Greg to sign it, get Gronk to sign it? What can you get for something like that? This towel scraped the back of Greg Hill Rob Gronkowski.
If you're convinced that he's never going to play again, then I think a lot. But if he comes back, not as much. Loses some value if he comes back.
Start the bidding at $690. We'll go from there.
$699.
We'll go from there. Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We got another hour to go, and we go 30 minutes commercial free.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.